This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Committed an assault on the very principles that uphold the global peace. But now, the entire world sees clearly what Putin and his Kremlin allies are really all about. This was never about a genuine security concerns on their part. It was always about naked aggression.
Oh, and oh, that naked aggression is on display right now. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to the show. It is about the Ukraine being rocked by explosions with the Russians invading. In fact, Russian forces seized control of Chernobyl, the nuclear power plant, and they're holding the staff there hostage, according to Ukrainian officials. Blasts have already been heard early in the morning in the capital city, Kiev, after the U.S. warned that Putin's forces were moving to encircle the capital city. So the Ukrainians are trying to escape, some in disbelief. Air sirens are going off in many major and small areas. The Russians are lashing out hard with a threat to the Ukrainians and other countries. It is very chilling to look at how Putin laid this all out, but should we be surprised? Land, air, sea, and oh yeah, there is also cyber attacks in the offings, which we knew would be part of this plan, of course, because that's another ace up the sleeve of the Russian megalomaniac, and this was what we knew was going to happen, and that people are fleeing, and Americans will be there, some American troops will be there in Poland to help process what could be 1 million to maybe up to 4 million people trying to escape, fleeing refugees from the lawlessness in the Ukraine, lawlessness in the sense that the Ukrainian troops cannot hold off what the Russians are doing with the attack at this point. The Ukrainian president himself is a key target for Putin, of course, because to knock him off and his family and to put a pro-Kremlin president in place would be the desired effect of this move. This move on the Ukraine. So, land, sea, air, barrage of attacks happening yesterday and today. Our Secretary of State says he believes Moscow has developed plans to inflict widespread human rights abuses and potentially worse on the Ukrainian people. So I hope as many as possible get out of the Ukraine. And trust me, there are Americans that are there in the Ukraine as well that'll be trying to get out. And our president said none of our troops will jump into the Ukraine. They're not going to help in that way. And we're not going to help trapped Americans either. So they've got to get out with the rest of the people who are fleeing. So the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, who is definitely a target, is in the capital. He says he believes that there are sabotage groups that have entered the city, and he is the guy they want. And his family would be the target after him because, you destroy the Ukraine politically. You get rid of the head of state. That's not a shock. And then you put in somebody that you want to be in that position. So far, by the end of Thursday, the Russian forces had more than 160 missiles for airstrikes at this point. There are obviously vulnerable children. They're being evacuated. There are packed subway stations that have been turned into makeshift bunkers as air raid sirens are going off all over the place. And there is a curfew, there was, and there will continue to be, a curfew from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m. Also, there was the warning from the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, that male citizens between the ages of 18 and 60 cannot leave the country. He also ordered general military mobilization to ensure the defense of the state. More than 100,000 people have already fled, most at risk of attack in the Ukraine. This is numbers from the United Nations Refugee Agency. The mass movement followed warnings from the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., who said Russia's actions in the Ukraine could create one of the largest refugee crises facing the world today, displacing as many as 5 million people. 5 million people. Wow, can you imagine? We knew this was happening. We knew this was going to happen. I think the question then becomes, the president talked about sanctions and talked about what's next. And here's one of the things he said in response to a question about where we were headed.
First of all, there's no doubt that when a major nuclear power attacks and invades another country, that the world is going to respond. And markets can respond all over the world. So there's no doubt about that, number one. Number two, the notion that this is going to last for a long time is highly unlikely. As long as we continue to stay resolved in imposing the sanctions we're going to impose on Russia, period.
But are the sanctions tough enough? Mostly at this point, the sanctions are targeting Russian banks holding a combined $1 trillion in assets. That would include Russia's two largest financial institutions. Also, sanctions on Russian elites with links to the Kremlin, that's one of the things that's going to happen, too. So those institutions, the big thing, and the export controls, restricting Russia's ability to import sensitive U.S. technology like semiconductors, lasers, sensors, and particularly target Russia's defense, aviation, and maritime sectors with what they're restricting, coupled by what the actions are of the European allies, cut off more than half of Russia's high-tech imports. So that would be a hit in terms of strategic ambitions for the megalomaniac Putin, but does it go far enough? And I say the answer to that is no. And I'm certainly not alone in that opinion. In fact, you've got a lot of Republicans and Democrats who are saying that the sanctions don't go far enough and they needed to be much more critical. Mitch McConnell, one of those people, the Senate minority leader, saying that you got to go after the oligarchs, really. And I say, why don't you take their yachts? Some are saying, why don't you boot their kids out of the country that are in college? But there are lots of suggestions that are very, very, would be very, very tough on Russia that would just add to the sanctions that have already been thrown out. I say, you got to really hit them hard. Because he is hitting the Ukraine hard and lots of people are going to die and he's going to take that city over. It could happen within the next couple of days. Wow. Stay with us.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Excited to have this conversation with Cynthia Gatz, and we have tried now for a little bit to bring this to you, and we're getting it done. Yay! And I know the listeners are going to love this. The timing is wonderful. Her book is called Black History Should Not Be a Mystery, and I agree. And it's these wonderful poems that are in this book, these words that really resonate, and I think they'll resonate with so many of you. Cynthia, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
So what was it that pulled this together for you? What made you decide, hey, I'm going to do this?
Actually, it started because I'm an educator, I'm a teacher, and, you know, every year we do a board, our door or, our, you know, board outside our classroom, and we decorate it with any kind of Black history, you know, ideas, thoughts, or anything that we can think of. And so it's like a decorating contest, and I did this Black History board last year that kind of won. And so I said, okay, I like that. And I put a poem in there. It was a big poem. I loved it, and people wanted to take pictures of it. And so I thought about, you know, the message that came from the poem. And when I wanted to get it copyrighted, I called the publishing company to find out about how to protect it under my name. They said, you have to have more. So that's how I end up getting this Black History Should Not Be a Mystery book to come about, is that I started writing more poetry, thinking about and reflecting on my life, my children's life, everyone around me's life, you know, who have ideas, thoughts, and they wanted to share. And, you know, because I have feelings, I have emotions, I have thoughts, I have experiences, and all those things came out of me through this poetry book. So as you read, you know, the readers might reflect on something that I say, and then they'll think about things that they have experienced in the past, things they want to change, things they want to expound on. And, you know, communication needs to go on. The discussion needs to go on. And that's why I wanted to develop this book.
What have you experienced that you would love to see changed? I mean, changed as soon as possible.
Oh, definitely inequality, injustices. racism. I've experienced it. I've seen it, and it is real. And I definitely would like that to change immediately. Yes.
How tough is that with children? Because you have to teach your children where you want them to grow up and love and feel like they can be, do, see anything they want. But do you have to teach them things you don't wish you had to teach them because of the world we live in?
Hey, we're talking about reality now, and that's a very good question. With reality, yes, they need to know. Environment that we have today, it, times have changed. You know, some have changed for the better. I realize that more can change so that it can become even more better than what it is now. And our children are here. They're growing up. They're learning. They're experiencing things. And it's better for them to be a little bit more knowledgeable in what they have the chance of facing versus going into it cold turkey. You know, give them a little ammunition to work with. So if we have discussions, if we teach them a little something about our history and why the world is the way it is today, why they may see things that happen the way they see it, why they may experience some things, maybe they have a better understanding, and they too can give input in, huh, what can we do to make this a better place? What can we do to change these things?
Yeah, I love that. Do you? I mean, this is hard to say because it's like picking out your favorite child, but do you have a favorite poem in the book that you've written?
A favorite poem, I guess if you would have asked me ahead of time, maybe.
But that's okay. This is live radio and people get that. And this is exactly how we roll on this show. And the millions of people that listen understand that. You've written a lot of poetry.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's what I'm saying. And I would just choose one.
But right.
I have one right here. Yeah. Black Lives Matter too. Because remember, that was the quote, that we heard, Black Lives Matter. I end up putting the word two on it, T-O-O, because remember, that was a controversy about, you know, some people say, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but my lives matter too. Blue Lives Matter too. White Lives Matter too. Asian Lives Matter too. That was the controversy. And all Black people were trying to say is, we matter also. So I put the word T-O-O with Black Lives Matter and made my poem, Black Lives Matter too. Would you like me to read it?
I would love for you to read that poem for us.
Okay.
Yes.
Black Lives Matter too is the title. Black Lives Matter. We all do. It's true. Black Lives Matter. We care about you. Black Lives Matter. Do you care about us? Black Lives Matter. We don't want to argue no fuss. Black Lives Matter. We just want you to include. Include us in what's rightfully ours. Just stop trying to elude. Black Lives Matter. We have expressed our anguish while sad and blue. White lives matter. Blue lives matter. Asian lives matter. All lives matter. We are including you. We are saying, reminding, and expressing to a few. White lives matter. Blue lives matter. Asian lives matter. All lives matter. Just please don't forget that. Black lives matter too.
Wonderful. Oh, and you did that so well. I could see you at any poetry coffee house or anywhere reading that poem or any of your poems. So when you pulled these together, what was it like to see it published? Was that exciting?
Very exciting. And I was thinking, you know, I like visuals. So I like pictures and I like illustration. My son, Maurice, is an illustrator of my five children's book. I have five other children's books that I've written. This is the sixth book. And I really didn't have any illustrations in this book, but I wanted in color because I have the symbol in the front of the book on the cover. Red, a red heart means, you know, with blood, black heart with race, green heart with land. Those colors represent things, and I have forms inside the book that tells you what those colors mean in my poetic way. Blood, race, and land. Those three things. Yeah.
Again, love it. You can get this on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Black History Should Not Be a Mystery. We're talking with Cynthia Gadson. Cynthia, what do you hope the takeaway is for people listening to us who say, yeah, I need to get Cynthia's book? What do you hope they take away from reading it, which they can pick up at any time? That's the brilliance of your book. You can read it whenever and read it again and read a poem here or there.
Yes. Oh, I hope they take away some experiences, you know, reflect on what they have experienced. This is for anyone. You know, we're in this world together, and we all experience some things. And there's a connection here. So as you read the poem, think about what happened in your life that reminds you of this, that, or the other. What can you do to reflect on things to help this world become a better place? That's what I really want to promote, change. And in order to promote change, we have to have this discussion. We have to talk about these things. We have to reflect on these things. Everyone has experiences. So use the experience that you have to think about what can we do to make this a better place, more unity, more love, more togetherness. This is what this is all about.
Ooh, perfect place to end this. Cynthia, thank you so much. Very powerful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Next couple of conversations, and it is about this large-scale Russian invasion of the Ukraine. So much of this show, I talked about that because we've been talking about, obviously, what this is like. This is terrible, what is happening to the people as we sit here and watch. And we, I think, need to have tougher sanctions on Russia. And, you know, what is it ultimately that you do to make the to make the megalomaniac Putin pay for what he's done here? This is big. I mean, this is a new Cold War kind of duel with Russia. Certainly, there was so much of a push for that diplomatic, and it did not work. So we look at also what does the effect mean here in the U.S. People are trying to put that in perspective. And, of course, we know that gas is going higher anyway, and the impact could certainly spark the biggest wars in Europe since 1945. It'll tip the global economy back into a little bit of a recession, but the how far, I don't think as far as people thinking it's the dark days. However, wholesale price of energy and some ag products will certainly go up. And the key thing is consumers are going to pay more for gasoline and food as a result of it. But I think our hearts and thoughts should go out to those people who wanted democracy, who were enjoying the way of life that they had in the Ukraine. And that's being destroyed by Putin and his reach to grab the Ukraine. So there's no chance. I don't think there's any chance that they pull through this on their own. And you've got panic happening. You have people escaping to Poland. And then you say to yourself, you know, when you look at this, he grabs up the Ukraine, let's say. That becomes, I think, what's inevitable. And then what's next? What about some of the others of the old guard that lived under Soviet control, right? Who could be the next targets? Latvians, Lithuanians, could they be the next place of an attack by Putin? I think it's a new Cold War and a new day.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden is following through after his warning to Vladimir Putin announcing even more sanctions to Russia now that they're invading Ukraine.
The sanctions we've imposed exceed SWIFT. The sanctions we imposed exceed anything that's ever been done. The sanctions we imposed have generated two-thirds of the world joining us. They are profound sanctions. Let's have a conversation in another month or so to see if they're working.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is also announcing financial punishments to Russia.
These trade sanctions will constrain Russia's military, industrial, and technological capabilities for years to come.
Reports say that Russian troops have seized control of the area around the decommissioned Chernobyl nuclear power plant. That area is still radioactive, and it's only 60 miles from Kyiv. This is USA Radio News. Sources say President Biden will announce his Supreme Court nominee to replace Justice Stephen Breyer sometime on Friday. NASA officials said the space agency is making progress toward a crucial test in mid-March of the first moon rocket since the Apollo era, but the agency didn't set a new launch date for the first lunar mission. NASA plans the full wet dress rehearsal of the SLS moon rocket on the pad at 6 p.m. March 17th. According to NASA, the first mission to the moon won't have a crew. At this time, they're evaluating a launch in May. The final test in March is practice for ground teams as they load propellant into the rocket's tanks and conduct a full launch countdown. NASA says the rocket will carry mannequins in the Orion capsule and will fly further past the moon than any crewed spacecraft ever has. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Very pleased to take you to the UK for a conversation with Dennis Lines. This is a man who has really gone through so many important documents, biblically speaking. We're going to talk about the 3 books that he's written. And he's had such an interesting life, a rich life, an engineer, a teacher, a therapist. And in the 80s, a tragedy didn't put him down, didn't keep him away from things that he could accomplish. He sadly broke his neck, fell down the stairs at his mother's house. And I know so many of you can relate to things that happen in your life that become setbacks. But this man, I would say, is someone to emulate with what he has written and the things that he continues to do. So his 3 books are You Say That I Am, The Historical Jesus Becomes the Messiah, The Radical Gospel of Paul and Christian Scripture. Also, Consider Job, An Inquiry Concerning Suffering, Disbelief, and Divine Justice. And all 3 have such deep meanings. Dennis, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So you and I had a great conversation off the air, and we could probably fill up 2 hours of the show with what we talked about, but we're going to boil it down for people. And let's start with your first book, You Say That I Am. Tell us about why you wrote that and what it's about.
Yes, I came from a religious fundamentalist sect that believes in the inerrancy of the Bible. But I had begun reading scholarship works that questioned the inerrancy of the Bible. Not that it's invalidated, it just questioned it. And I started to read critical works, although I understood and read the Bible. I started to read scholars who had spent their lifetime study of the books of the Bible. I began to realize, as is well known in scholarship, that the documents we have that are printed in the modern Bible have been copied many times over at the outset. We know that, for example, beginning with Jesus, he spoke in Aramaic, the Gospels are in Greek. The earliest documents we have in the New Testament are the letters of Paul, and they were written 40 years before the Gospels were written. So the Gospels come along a lot later. The earliest evidence we have of Jesus, against those scholars, two primarily, who argue either that Jesus was a myth, if you like, developed from Greco-Roman traditions, and the other one believes there's no solid evidence. But I come away from that because I think there is good evidence, and I'm trying to show by looking at the documents, particularly with the first book, You Say That I Am, of the genuineness of the sayings of Jesus. He spoke in parables. And I'm trying to get back to the original text. Paul tells us a little about the biographical details of the historical Jesus, but they're just little side comments which have a kind of almost authentic ring about them. Paul writes primarily his letters to the early Christian communities that he'd set up in modern-day Turkey, Greece, Rome, Macedonia. And he would travel from synagogue to synagogue in the cities, and he would take his message and talk about this new Jesus, this Hebrew prophet from Lower Galilee, Palestine, a province of the Roman Empire. And he would tell them about, as he understood, the mission of the Jesus. And he was a prolific writer. Unfortunately, the letters we have in Paul, not all of them are authentic to Paul. Only 7 of the 13 are. And I've argued in the second book that Paul tried to break away to some extent. He wanted to open this door to non-Jewish citizens in the Roman Empire. So he would go, firstly, to talk to his fellow Jews in the synagogues. And he began to teach them, and some of them rejected him. But what he was finding is that some of the non-Jews who attended the Jewish synagogues took a greater interest than did his fellow countrymen. So he broke away, and he began to teach them about Jesus and set up little communities of Jesus believers. The three letters in the New Testament were written in the name of Paul. The later documents, two letters to Timothy, a letter to Titus, and they both have a similar ring to them. They know something of the details of Paul because they're forged in his name. Those books give a very different version of Paul than the authentic letters, like Corinthians and his later letters to the Romans. And in those letters, Paul argued that it was co-equality in terms of gender. And he was also against slavery. He felt the people coming into the Christian community, if you was a wealthy person, you could not own another slave. And thirdly, he believed that the door was now open to non-Jews to become part of the community of God. So those things set him at odds with his Jewish fellow Christians back in Jerusalem, and there was a clash. And the book argues that the genuine Paul was pro-women, against slavery, and wanted to break out of the confines of Jewish faith. So that's the second book. But it's primarily getting back to the text, what's authentic from the documents themselves. And then the final book, which I've only just completed, is to look at this issue that often people throw up against religious faith, Christian faith, which is innocent suffering. If there is a loving Heavenly Father, why does he allow suffering children, you know, to suffer? It's a philosophical question as well as a theological one. So the book firstly opens up the dilemma by looking at the nature of catastrophes which occur throughout the world that take innocent people. And various people have wrestled with this subject from time immemorial. And I wanted to have a look at this. Most Christians and Jews will go back to the book of Job. The book of Job is about a person who suffers, although wealthy, at the hands of a God he always trusted. And the book is very, very largely misunderstood. It's as a result of one author who has taken hold of an ancient myth, which is about a man called Job who suffers terrible misfortune in his life. He suffers with his family. He suffers unbelievable misfortune with his wealth goes and he's reduced to nothing. It sits as a kind of a drama, the book is. It's like a play. The original part of the book is the first two chapters and the last three chapters. The middle section is a later edition put together by a philosopher, a Jewish philosopher. It's called the Wisdom Literature. And it's a series of debates between three sages of wisdom who come to sit down and talk with Job. Job, in the early fable, he suffers from terrible misfortune, and there is, as it were, a play between two scenes. The book switches from one scene to the other. There is the drama on the earth with Job suffering his misfortune, and there's an open drama in the heavenly places. It is where God sits with the divine council. And Satan is present in the divine council. It's a play. It's not meant to be taken literally. Although it probably would have been believed so at the time. Satan goes to God and says, "Have you considered Job?" God says to Satan, "There's nobody like him. He's a righteous man." And Satan says, "Oh, well, you're saying that. You're saying that because I'm speaking colloquially now. You're saying that because you give him everything that goes his way. He's a wealthy man. He's got good, healthy children. But if you sort of take away his goods, his wealth, then see whether he still trusts you." And so these calamities happen. And then the latter part of the original source, he always trusts in God. He, even against his wife, who remains alive, and she tells him to curse God and die, because that was the ancient belief, but he refuses to do it, and his blessings come out in the end. That's the end of the book.
And all three of these books can consider Job, the Radical Gospel of Paul, You Say That I Am. You can get them all on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Dennis Hines, thank you so much.
Pleasure speaking with you.
A
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us now. He's written a book called Balanced Leadership, A Pragmatic Guide for Leading. Oh, boy, do we need this book now more than ever. Len, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. It's a pleasure.
So let's talk about why you wrote this book. With all your experience, I can see why you would write this book. But what drove you to putting this out now?
What motivated me most of all was seeing how much misunderstanding there was about what it means to be a leader and to lead. I've even heard people say, oh, you know, we don't need leaders anymore. That's obsolete. People want to be self-led today. And you look around, it's not hard to find leaders who are often toxic or fail. And you say, boy, something wrong with this model. And there is. And it's not that we don't need leaders or that they're obsolete. They certainly are not. However, it's important for people to realize that they can become a better leader and need to do so. It's very important that our leaders are effective and capable and you know, do the job of leading and understand what it means to be a leader. And that's where the problems are.
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, get the book because then you can go through all of these steps. But give us a couple of things that you talk about as far as becoming a better leader. What do you need to do?
Okay, great. Well, what leaders do that is unique is they bring different people together, different parties together, and they provide direction and focus. They help people define a vision, where we want to get to in the next month, year, 10 years, whatever. That's very important that people understand where we're going as a group, as a company, as an organization. We need to have a vision and then use that vision to set our goals. The leader also supports their people to success, and they don't permit failure. That changes the environment completely in a company or an organization when people understand that they can go out and do things or try things that may be a little bit uncomfortable, maybe beyond their skill level at the current time, but they know, they have confidence that the leader is going to be there to help them and not allow them to fail. And that's how you build a team. You build a team of people who constructively work together to support each other, make up for each other's deficiencies, because none of us are perfect, okay? We all have flaws. And by the way, some of those flaws are not so easy to fix. They're not going to go away overnight. But if you have a team and we recognize strengths and weaknesses and we combine people in ways to make sure that the weaknesses don't allow people or the team to fail, it works like a charm.
Wow. You know, I'm thinking and processing what you're talking about. And another thing that you mentioned, I think, is so key, and you say it right in the beginning of the book, flexibility versus consistency. And what I think is fascinating, I've never heard anyone say this, you say you cannot purely be one or the other, and it's difficult to be both. What do you mean by that?
Well, flexibility and consistency, all right? We want to be consistent to some extent, meaning we don't want to be flip-flopping around. We want people to depend on us and understand what we're saying and realize that we're committed to it, and that's fine, but it can be overdone. And that's where the concept of balance comes in, all right? In every different situation, the degree of consistency that I portray as a leader will change. In some situations, it's going to be absolutely rigid, and I will not have any flexibility at all. And therefore, I'm extremely consistent, okay? And that's necessary sometimes. But on the other hand, people don't like it when, you know, I come to you as a boss, and I come to you with new information or something that changes, or the world is changing every day, let's face it. We need to be able to change in response to those events. That means we need to be somewhat flexible, and therefore somewhat inconsistent.
Yeah.
That sounds like a paradox, but it's riding a bicycle, balancing those two things, getting it just right in every situation with every group of people, and being willing to change that balance when called to do so.
Yeah, and again, the book is Balanced Leadership, A Pragmatic Guide for Leading. And Len, another thing that you talk about that I think is so critical, and this word is often sort of misused and people don't always understand it correctly, but you talk about authentic leadership. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, it's very important to be authentic to who you are. Some people think they can read a book or have a mentor and follow that person's style and approach in leading. And sometimes that can work really well for you, and in a lot of cases it won't work because that style may not be the appropriate one for the situation you're in. That's number one. And number two, it may not be appropriate to you and your character. You're a unique person. We're all different, and that's good. I don't want to act like somebody else. I want to act like me. And that's important in being a leader because people see right through you, meaning you can try and be on your best behavior and make believe you're better or different than you really are, and it's not going to work because they're going to see right through it, realize you're a phony, and then they won't believe you or listen to you, or they'll be wary of anything you say because they're like, well, if you told me a lie then, what other lies are you going to tell me or have? You lose your credibility. So you need to be authentic. And, you know, we are who we are, and be honest about it. Doesn't mean we walk around being idiots and jerks. You don't want to do that. But on the other hand, when you make a mistake, you want to fess up and say, yep, that's me. Sorry, I did that. I'll try not to do it again, or I won't do it again. You know, be willing to admit and apologize and then move on. But recognize the fact that you are who you are and you need to be who you are.
Yeah. And another part of that that you talk about, I think, is so interesting, and I agree with it, is you say don't take yourself too seriously. And it's so important to have humor and have humility and the value of humility, which I think both of those a lot of times are lost on the person at the top because they don't want to be seen as weak or having any chinks in the armor, so to speak. And if they would laugh and have humility, I think people would relate a little bit more. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And my favorite motto is always to work hard, be successful, and have fun, in that order. Meaning without hard work, there's no success. Without success, there's no fun. And without fun, there's no hard work. It's a virtuous cycle. And when people get to recognize that as the leader, I'm willing to have fun, I'm willing to laugh at myself, willing to make mistakes and openly discuss them, and make it fun. Make the work fun. Don't make it a drudgery. Make it fun, have fun, and let's celebrate when we are successful. But at the same time, people have to recognize that takes hard work. That's not a joke. We have to work, and we're going to work, and we're going to do the best we can, and sometimes better than the best we can. We're going to get the job done. We don't accept failure. Mistakes are fine. Everyone makes mistakes. We're going to make a lot of them. Elon Musk says we need to make mistakes faster, and he's right. That's exactly the kind of organization you want to build, is where people feel safe enough to make mistakes, to try and stretch and do something that they perhaps couldn't do yesterday or even today, but they're willing to try, and the organization is there to support them and help them, allow them to make mistakes, but not allow them to fail. To me, that's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. I love what you say, too, right in your acknowledgments. I always read the acknowledgments, because one of the things you say in your acknowledgments is you say there is no cookbook method for leadership, because I think people think there is. You say there is only balance. And then you give credit to not only supporters and friends, you say mentors while you were doing this book. And mentors are so important.
Oh, I have lots of mentors through my career, and they're very important to have some people you can talk to and bounce ideas off of, and people who will tell you the truth about yourself. And that's not so easy to do, especially when you're a leader. People tend not to tell you the truth. And one of the things I say in the book is, as a leader, if people come and tell you something that's a little bit negative, multiply it by 10, because they're not giving you the whole scoop. But leadership has been a very popular topic throughout history. In fact, it's the most popular topic for books in history. Last count, there were over 10,000 books written on leadership. So, yeah, there is no definitive one. No one's ever written a definitive book. I don't believe I have either. But they go back to, Chinese philosophers like Lao Tzu. He contributed to writing the Tao Te Ching in the 6th century B.C., and he talks a lot about leadership. Marcus Aurelius, Roman leader and later Caesar, wrote a book on leadership, which is amazing. It's an amazing book, by the way, if you ever get a chance to read it, do.
Wow. I love that. 10,000 books on leadership. Well, yours definitely stands out. Balanced Leadership, A Pragmatic. I love that guide for leading. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Len, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. All the best.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.